today on Real Radio.
Very comforting promise that God's Holy Spirit will speak to you and walk with you and lead you and guide you day by day in your Christian existence. That's how we know we're believers, because he's always speaking to us and leading us.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Who Told You About the Church, Part 3, continues a series now called Who Told You? Oftentimes, our doctrine is based on past experiences or outside influences. In this series, we'll learn how to discern the voices of our day based on what Scripture reveals. In Part 1 and Part 2 of this lesson, we learned that the New Testament church is a Christ-centered community of believers. And in this Christ-centered community, we are a family that's not led by feelings but growing and grounded in faith based on the facts of the Bible. Now in Part 3, we'll discover why God created His church and how the believer is to be involved. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that God created the church because each member of the body of Christ has a testimony that needs to be shared. The gospel of Jesus Christ has transformed our lives, and God wants the world to know and receive His ministry of grace. And now in his lesson called Who Told You About the Church, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Father, we pray, Lord, that today as a church family gathered together, Lord, that you would change us, touch us, mold us, shape us, enlighten us, Lord, challenge us. We know from your Bible it says that we will be uplifted and at the same time we'll be convicted. There'll be things about your Spirit working in our lives. We'll be exhorted and we'll be rebuked if your word has its way with us. So, Lord, we do want to say this morning, we do want to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say to us. And while we're at it, Father, I want to ask you, Lord, that you would make us like this church here of Philadelphia. God, that you'd make us a church that is ready and obedient, that has a little bit of strength and power to do your will, that you would open doors and that you would close doors according to your sovereign will. And Father, that we'd be a people who'd be faithful to do whatever it is you bring to our ability to do. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. You can be seated. And as we are looking at this gathering together regarding the church, we've been studying, as I said, these last 3 weeks. And in these last few weeks together, we've looked at what is the church. And in talking about that, we've had four things that we now have under our belt regarding a church. And it's good stuff to know. If you attend a church, maybe you're searching for a church, praying about a church. I met a wonderful couple, by the way, last Wednesday night. They live in Seattle. They drove down to San Diego for vacation, and they drove up Wednesday night for the service, and then they drove back to San Diego after the service. So what was your excuse for not being here? No, I'm kidding. Anyway, the reason why is because they tune in, they listen, they watch the services up in Seattle, and they said, we're part of this church. And that's a pretty amazing thing. But whatever church you attend, know this, that as we've been looking at the things that make a New Testament church happen, we graduate today to a new question. But last time we answered the first question, which was, what is the church? And we saw that it is a community that is Christ-centered. You can get together for any reason and it doesn't make it a church. You can have a cross on the top of your building, doesn't make it a church. Is it a Christ-centered community of believers where Jesus is the topic of conversation, where the Word of God is the guideline to live in life, and that the Holy Spirit in that community of believers is the very propellant, the accelerant that makes that church a community? And then we saw that it's a family, that the church of God, the Bible tells us, God tells us, He being our Father, that we are in the family of God. And it's a Christ-centered family, that by the Holy Spirit, we who are Christ belong to this family, whereby we cry out to God, Abba, Father. And the Bible also taught us last time that being a family, The scripture says that his spirit, that is Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit that we are, in fact, children of God. And that's a very comforting promise that God's Holy Spirit will speak to you and walk with you and lead you and guide you day by day in your Christian existence. That's how we know we're believers, because he's always speaking to us and leading us. And we saw that that reality leads to a Christ-centered manifestation of faith, that a church is not something that just happens for an hour or two on a Sunday, but it's something where the church comes and gets refilled on a Sunday or a Wednesday or whenever, and then goes back out and lives out their faith as a church community, as a church family in faith. It's very exciting when a church is being operated in that area of faith, because as the Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing. Listen, this is so, it's so simple, comforting, but we often miss this. Faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. So whenever you listen to teaching, read the Bible on your own, gather together for a service, now you won't feel anything physically, but spiritually you are growing, your faith is expanding when that happens. And I have a way of viewing death personally. I think that when a Christian dies, the reason why it's time for them to die is that the inside of them outgrows the outside of them. That when a Christian is growing, there comes a point in time where it's time to weigh anchor and go to heaven. And I like that view. If you have some other view that disagrees with mine, don't tell me, because I like living in my little bubble. I like that. That the day that I die is the day that my spirit has grown enough to outgrow the use of my body. And I graduate. I think a Christian, when a Christian dies, a Christian graduates into the presence of God. And all of that growth comes by faith. That's why we as believers, we want to be in the Word of God more and more all the time, because our faith increases. And how do we know that when our faith increases, that that's what's really happening? Well, one of the things is that we'll begin to venture out and live a more, and I mean this in a good way, a more reckless life for God. We won't be so careful. We will do what Jesus talked about, and that is we will give up our lives that we might present our lives to him. And only in doing that do we really experience what I would say is a dynamic or radical Christian life. And this is where we ended last time. It's hard for us to handle, but the Bible teaches us, those of us who are believers, that we are in fact Christ-centered gathering of people called saints by God. God has called us. I'm so glad that God's the one who calls us saints, right? Because that's his theology. But for all of us who follow Christ, he has declared us to be saints. And the beauty of that, we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb of God, our sacrifice Christ, our sacrifice Jesus. For us, we've been cleansed, we've been washed, we are now renewed and made brand new with him, and we now walk in newness of life. So here we go. We now ask this question: why the church? If God in his desire is to get the gospel out to the ends of the earth, that the preaching of the gospel is so vitally important, and it should be the very foundational act of the church to get the good news. So watch, Jesus buys, allow me to put it this way, he buys the gospel himself on the cross with his own blood. To empower it, he's resurrected from the dead on Sunday morning, 2,000 years ago. That message is so transforming and so powerful. It's the greatest message that's ever been told, that ever will be told, that it has the absolute power to transform a person's life, the way they think, who they are. Then why would God leave that duty to the church? I'm kind of surprised by that. Why would God take the greatest news ever and give it to the church to do? I have that question to ask him. I would have given that job to angels. I would have given that job to somebody more proficient. But according to the Bible, God has given you and I the ability and the hope and the joy and the responsibility to tell the world the greatest news ever. And I find that incredibly remarkable. And it starts this way. Jesus said, for example, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, the Bible says, then he said to them, that is the disciples, those that he was gathering, he said, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. The ministry of Jesus And the creation of the church starts with him calling out, we know from our Bibles, 12 people, 12 men, and it all started by him saying, come and follow me. And those men got up and they followed Christ at whatever they were doing. Some were fishermen, some were tax collectors, others involved in other things, Judas involved in other things, yet God called him. That's amazing, right? Jesus, the pastor of a church of only 12 people, and one of them was a devil. That's amazing. But he called them to come and follow me. And then all that time of establishing the church, right before Jesus leaves and goes back to heaven, in Matthew 28, Jesus says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And this is his word to those 12. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, or behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's the amazing bookends of the birth of the church. He calls a few. He trains them. He equips them. And then he commissions them to the end of the earth. And then we learned last week that on the day of Pentecost, he empowered them by his Holy Spirit. And the rest is history. For 21 centuries, the gospel goes out around the world. The church is that vehicle. Why the church? Because God gets all the glory. She's been given a task that's impossible. And yet God, rather than having angels do it, he picked you. He picked you to do it. For this reason, every one of us who would say today we're Christians, God has in your life a testimony. Whatever it may be, you have your word. You have your message, how God touched you in this life. And rather deploying angels, God deploys you. You are the disciples. 21 centuries ago, it was those guys. 21 centuries now, it's you. And you can't put that off on somebody else. You can't say, well, Pastor, I'm shy. Listen, you may be shy, but get over it. Well, I don't like to talk to people. That's fine. Listen, just get over it. And I mean it this way, lovingly. I'm kind of giving you a little kick, but with a big heart. We all have our excuses. But has God touched your life? Has the message of the gospel come to you? And has it transformed your life and you're a member, you're in the body of Christ? Then Jesus says to you today, go therefore into all the world. You say, well, how am I going to go into all the world? Well, that's the amazing thing about the age in which you and I live in right now. You not only have the opportunity to go to your neighbor next door, but you and I together have the opportunity to go to the ends of the earth. I mean that literally. This last week, I had the opportunity to talk to Dr. Ed Heinsohn, a man I love there at Liberty University. And Dr. Ed had made mention over the fact that our radio program, Real Radio, is heard on stations all across America. They hear it there in Lynchburg, Virginia. And he said, you know, millions of people listen to Christian radio across the nation every day. And then I thought about Sirius XM Radio, where those fine people there asked us to join their station some 2 years ago. And Sirius XM Radio has a paid membership subscription nationwide of 26 million people are subscribed every day to that station. And the opportunity, and he said, Heinsohn said, Jack, today, with just one sermon aired on the radio across America, you can reach more people in one day than the Apostle Paul did in his lifetime. And I had to think about that for a moment because my first thought was, that's impossible. And then I thought, wait a minute, that's exactly how the gospel works. Paul traveled by boat, traveled by donkey, traveled on foot. It took him a lifetime to get from Jerusalem over all the way over to areas of Europe. And sometimes speaking to 100, sometimes 1,000, sometimes 10. But in one moment of time, with radio going around the world and satellite beaming the gospel, and that's something that all of us are involved in. A moment ago, you saw how many people you're reaching in Africa with the gospel in a Muslim nation. How does that happen? Because the gospel has transformed your life. And you and I being members of this work of God, this church that he's put together, what is it? It's none other than an amazing thing. Mark it down if you would, that the church is God's ministry of grace to this world. If grace is going to get out beyond these walls, it's going to happen every moment that you're deployed out of this place. You're going to carry the grace of God. Now look, according to the Bible tells us, and listen carefully, that when Jesus came preaching the kingdom of God and he had his disciples and he instructed them, he told them, listen, he told them, go now, not to the Gentiles. Don't go to them. What did he say to do? He said, first go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Go to my people, Israel. I've come to them first, and you go and spread the good news. And as they went preaching, the Bible tells us that people came to believe in Christ. But there's a very key thing that we know about Israel as a nation. As a nation and its national leaders, they rejected Christ. The Bible tells us they rejected Christ because the religious order, the Pharisees and the scribes, in their arrogance and in their envy, rejected Jesus. The Old Testament prophets said that they would do that. They would reject him. And Paul the Apostle comes along and Peter comes along in the book of Acts, and they're preaching to the house of Israel, and Israel says, we don't want to hear this. And there's a great statement that you and I are all thankful for. The disciples said, you then, judging yourselves unworthy of eternal life, we now turn and preach to the Gentiles. And in that moment, the gospel was born out to the ends of the earth. And you and I are here today as predominantly Gentiles believing in the gospel. And God uses the church. Why the church? Because when you get saved and you share with somebody else, listen, when you get saved and you share with somebody else what Christ has done for you, there's a power to that. Maybe you've come out of prostitution. I told you a couple weeks ago, I met someone who has come out of prostitution, heard about this church, came out and, well, came and visited, heard the gospel, gave her life to Christ, and now is involved in ministry. How does that happen? Because someone was able to relate to her and speak to her and give her hope. On it goes, connecting, touching. It may be a corporate office environment, and someone shares, oh, this or that about God, and something happens, and God begins to work. It would never work with an angel. It would never work with somebody else. It works with you. God has touched your life, and the fact of the message is that you are a modern-day disciple, and I'd like to consider you a modern-day apostle. In the sense that you go out and speak to people, but it's all about a ministry of grace. Now listen to what this means. God's grace has changed your life. God's grace has changed my life. Very, very beautifully, God has changed our lives. And I think about this and I wrote it down, that by God's grace, by his power, God has changed. In this church, we've watched him change people's lives in Russia, in Germany, in China, in other parts of the world. We've watched God change people's lives in California. It's possible, right here in California, even in Hollywood. You can reach out with the gospel. And here's the amazing thing about the ministry of God's grace out of your life. See, because the human temptation is in religiosity is to be a Christian and to beat somebody up with thou shalt not. And I understand that regarding the law, there's a place for that, but you're to never beat anybody up with it. Are you hearing me? Listen, this is very important. Let's not miss this. When you and I talk to other people about the grace of God, we need to realize that the church in America has not done, in my opinion, not a very good PR campaign for God's grace. Many people today think like this in church. Well, you know, I'm a doper, I'm a drunk, I sleep with my boyfriend, but God's grace is awesome. What do you mean? I think if I'm hearing you right, you're saying, I can keep sleeping with my boyfriend, I can keep doing drugs, I can keep being a drunk, and I'll get to heaven by default because of God's grace. And if you think that's true, you have lied to yourself. You have violated all that the Bible has says. In fact, you are what is called an antinomian. It means that you, as long as you live your life the way you want to, and then ask God to forgive you, and then you go right back to doing it, the Bible declares that you, in fact, do not know God. You may be very religious in your activity, but it is a Christless, crossless, powerless religion that you've created. That's not the grace of God. People will say, oh, you Christians, your grace of God is cheap. It's not cheap. It's the most expensive thing in the universe. It costs God everything. It costs him the price of his son at the cross. But it's this grace that transforms us. God's grace, if you've ever wondered, has God's grace taken hold of my life? Is that your question? Well, here's the answer. God's grace gives you the power to get up and out of those things that you know offend Christ. God's grace gets you the power to break away from those things. This is very important. Well, you know, I just think a little bit of pornography is okay. You know, a little bit keeps our marriage spicy. That's idolatry. And it's prevalent today. You're in bondage. God's grace wants to set you free from that. Well, you know what? I don't tithe, but I always tell God that if I win there in Vegas or scratch the numbers there at the lotto thing, that if I ever win, God and I've got a deal and I'll give him some money if I win. Idolatry. You can't do that. You're deceiving yourself. God's grace is not weak so that his people stumble through life. God's grace is powerful so that it delivers us from the bondage of life. And God turns around and he uses you and I to tell other people that you don't have to be like this. So listen, last service, a man came up to me. He was terrified. It was actually awesome. Very distinguished, handsome man. You could tell he was well-established. He came up and he said hello to me, and then his bottom lip began shaking. And then the lower part of his eyes began to fill up with tears. And I said, obviously something's wrong. He said, I don't think I'm a Christian after this sermon. I need Jesus now in my life. I've just gone all along in this anemic thing, assuming I'm a believer, but I'm powerless in this life. And everything that you mentioned this morning, Pastor, is controlling my life. God wants to set that man free. We prayed together. And listen, he seems as though he's tired and sick of it, and that's good. The ministry of grace is powerful. And God wants to liberate us by it. The Bible tells us with Noah. The first time grace is used in the Bible is the life of Noah. In Genesis 6, verse 8, the Bible says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The word grace is both in the Hebrew and in the Greek. It's the same meaning. Divine. It's the divine stooping down to us. It's the coming down to bestow favor, to pick us out and to bless us, to target us. I like that word. To target us with his unmerited favor. God wants to bestow upon us grace.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Who Told You About the Church? Part 3. Thank you for listening, and our hope is that you are clothed in the light of God's Word and in the power of his Holy Spirit. Who Told You About the Church, Part 3, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Who Told You? A series that gives us the truth about heaven, salvation, God's enduring grace, and the future of his church. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, a lot of our Real Radio listeners like to take their walk a little bit deeper. And one of the best ways you can do that is to get the special devotions from Pastor Jack once a week. If you sign up for the devotional newsletter, you can get his devotions sent straight to your email. So it makes it convenient. You don't have to have any reminders or anything like that. Or even better, why don't you download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet and access the devotions right there. Make Pastor Jack's devotions a part of your week by going to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And then click right there on the Devotions tab. Get the Real Life Devotions from Pastor Jack and take your walk with God to an even deeper level. And by the way, you know, we don't ask for money here on this program, but we do want to let you know that this ministry is supported by our listeners, folks that listen to this radio show. Lots of ways to donate. If you feel led from the Lord to go ahead and donate, why don't you do that? Go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the Donate tab. Our phone number, if you should need it, is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Also, the address, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.